I woke up, and when I woke up, like, I knew, like, that was Jesus. I just saw Jesus. This is real. Hi guys, welcome to our new podcast, Tejanos Love Jesus. My name is Shayla, and we actually have Enrique working the audio in the back. But we are so excited to bring this podcast to you. I feel like it's going to be such a big blessing for y'all as it is for us. You know, we're going to be sitting down talking about, you know, how it is walking with Christ. And we're also going to be bringing testimonies to y'all. And I'm so excited. This first episode is actually my testimony. And before we get started, if you don't have a church that you go to, we're actually located in Ferris, Texas, my church, Corona de Gloria. So if you don't have a church and you're near the area, I highly recommend. But without further ado, let's go ahead and get this first episode started. Hi, my name is Shayla Ramirez Campos. I'm 23 years old, and I am born and raised in Dallas, Texas. And a little bit about my childhood. I remember when I was nine, we were passing by a church, and then my mom said, she was like, "Do y'all want to go to this church?" She asked me and my sister, and we said yes. And when we actually went inside the church, I saw that there were girls that were praise dancing. And that caught my attention, and I wanted a praise dance. So we made that church our church. And we went there for a couple of years until finally we decided to leave because the pastor became money hungry. And he started worrying more about what was coming in, the money, instead of God, which I didn't understand at that time. You know, to me, I was just dancing. I didn't really have a relationship with God. I didn't really pray. I didn't really read my Bible. So we ended up leaving. We ended up moving to this house to have service, you know, there. And, you know, the woman that was hosting, you know, service there, she allowed us to have service. And, you know, I was still praise dancing there, but I was already 15 at the time. And it was the first time I downloaded social media. I had Instagram. And I started to see how people didn't have the same lifestyle I had. People were out partying, having fun, and I was here at church. And I didn't want to do it anymore. And I remember this one time, I think it was like maybe like 10 minutes before service, everyone was sitting down, and my mom had told me to get ready, you know, because we were going to praise dance. The service was going to start. And I remember I told my mom I wasn't going to be a hypocrite, that I didn't want to do this anymore. And I said it in front of everyone. And, you know, I thought I got away with it. I stood outside service. During the whole service, I was outside. And then when we were leaving, we were going home. I remember my mom stopped the car and slapped me. And I deserved it. But at the time, of course, I didn't know. And I was angry. And, of course, time went by. And we ended up having to leave that church because, you know, the woman that was allowing us to have service at her house didn't want us there anymore. So we didn't have a church for a while. I believe around that time I was maybe like 16, about to turn 17. My mom found a church close by and we started going there. But, you know, I didn't really want anything to do with God. I was just going because my mom was telling me to go. And I remember I told her that she chose that church. I told her that I didn't. And I remember these words because now I'm at a church where, you know, like God wants me to be there. But I remember I told her that I didn't want to be at that church, that that's the church she chose. That's not the church that God placed me in. And of course, I still didn't have a relationship with God. But, you know, I knew that there was a God, that there was a higher power, and that Jesus died on the cross for us. But I didn't understand it. I just knew of it. And so yeah, that went by, and then I had turned 18, and once I turned 18, I stopped completely going to church. I finally graduated high school. And then after I graduated high school, that's when, you know, I had my first sexual encounter with a boy, and that just woke something in me. I started to become more promiscuous. I started to dress more provocative. I, you know, was posting half naked pictures on social media, And I thought that attention was good attention. I thought that there was, you know, social media, it brainwashes us to think that like dressing half naked, that's good. Like, that's great. Like, the attention that I was getting, I was, you know, I was seeking validation from men and from people when they would tell me that I look good, and then having men in my DMs, and, you know, I was seeking validation. Like, I liked the attention. And so I kept posting and posting, you know, half naked pictures. And then, yeah, like I stopped going to college. I started to party a lot. So I was partying all the time. I started to smoke weed. I was getting high. And if I wasn't smoking weed, I was smoking that, the vape, the THC. And yeah, that was the life that I was, that I had. And then at the age of 21, I ended up getting arrested. I got a DWI. And I remember that I was in the cell, and I cried out to God. I cried out to God, and I told God, I was like, God, if you help me with this, like, I'll change, you know, I'll start spending more time with you. And, you know, and I was there for the whole weekend. And, you know, again, before this, I was partying every weekend. I was partying every weekend, you know, going out, you know, didn't care anymore. You know, I thought that, you know, going out was cool. And whenever I was in jail, they had told us that there's a possibility we could get a personal bond. And a personal bond, you know, is that a bond where you don't pay anything. You know, they let you go. And, you know, I was praying. I was like, Lord, like, please, like, let me get a personal bond. They told us not to ask the judge that if we're able to get a personal bond, like, they'll give it to us. The judge will give it to us. And I was just so grateful because, you know, they gave me a personal bond. So I got out with no problem. And, you know, you would think that I told God I was going to, you know, start spending time with him. And I completely forgot. Once I left jail, I went back. I went back to partying. I ended up getting a breathalyzer in my car, and I just wouldn't take my car. I would still party. I would still drink, smoke, going out with my friends. And, you know, from the age that I could remember, from like 15, from the age that, you know, 21, at that time, I was suffering with depression. Like, I was depressed. And now that I look at it, I know it's a generational curse. You know, like in the Bible, it says that you could either be a curse to your family or a blessing. And, you know, my family, we weren't following Christ. And, you know, within my family, there's depression. You know, my parents also had, you know, problems with depression. And I was depressed, and I didn't know why. You know, I had a loving family. I had friends. I had a job, and I was suffering from depression. And yeah, like I was a person that I'd get high and I'd ask, you know, what's the meaning of life? Like, why are we here? Like, I would always ask that. And my friends would always, they would always just say to enjoy the high. They were like, enjoy the high, Shayla. Like, stop asking these questions. But I was always like, there has to be something more to life. Like, this can't be it. And I would always ask that. And yeah, and not only that, like, I know I was trying to fill a hole. I had a hole in me. I would cry myself to sleep because I knew there was something missing. And I was trying to, like, you know, find it in smoking weed, find it in alcohol, in clubbing, going out, and having all these relationships. You know, I was trying to fill a void that I had. And so at the age of 22, I decided to start working at a bar. And the reason I decided to start working at a bar is because, you know, I was like, okay, I'm going out every weekend, and it's not fulfilling me. I was like, I need to start working at where the party's at. Like, maybe if I work somewhere that's like fun and exciting, like, that'll fill the void that I have. So I started working at the bar. You know, we would have like bottle service, and I also started working as a bottle girl, and I thought that was so cool. Like, I was like, okay, like, you know, this is the life. And yeah, so that was going on. I ended up meeting this guy. So I met this guy at the gym, and yeah, I just thought that my life was at its peak. You know, things were going great with this guy. You know, we had a good relationship. And, you know, again, I was working at a bar. You know, I was having fun. You know, work was fun. And yeah, so I really thought that I was at my peak. I remember this one time just driving and I had the windows down and I was on my way home. It was like 3-4 in the morning and I was just stepping on it and I just felt so good. Like, I was like, this is it. Like, yes, I'm dealing with this whole DWI thing, but like, my life is great. Like, everything's going good. And again, but my parents, they were going through problems. My mom and dad did somewhat blame me for their problems. They said because of my DWI that they started to have issues. And, you know, basically, like, I was the reason for them, you know, having, you know, marital issues. And, you know, because of that, I was getting high all the time. You know, I prefer to get high than, you know, to have my parents blame me for having issues. So I was getting high all the time and, you know, partying, and I just prefer to be anywhere but home. They were having issues and I would get high just to not be there. I'd rather be high than deal, you know, with everything that was going on at home. So, yeah, so that was, you know, the life that I had going on. And then, you know, my little brother started to pray. My little brother, I started to pray and started to read the Bible. And, you know, I was like, okay, why is he reading the Bible? Like, I would get home from work and I would see him like at the table reading the Bible. And I'd be like, what? And he was saying how he was praying that how my parents weren't, you know, going to separate. They weren't going to have a divorce. And, you know, that, you know, it made me curious. I was like, okay, like, you know, why is he reading the Bible? It got me curious to that, to where the point that I wanted to read the Bible. So I was like, okay, so I started, you know, to read the Bible a bit. And yeah, like, so I was reading the Bible, just a little bit, but I was still, you know, with this lifestyle, working at the clubs, you know, and yeah, so that was the lifestyle that I had. And then my parents' relationship got better. They ended up joining a church. So they ended up joining a church and they told me, they were like, oh, you should come. Like, this church is great. And I remember that I told them, I was like, oh, that's great that y'all found a church, but I'm busy. You know, I was busy with work. I was busy with this relationship that I had with this guy. And I was just like, yeah, like, I'm too busy for church, but I'm glad that y'all found church. Like, I'm glad that y'all are going. And so my parents were going to that church. And for me, everything was just going good. Like, I didn't feel like I needed church. You know, I was still reading a couple of verses here and there, but I still didn't know who God was. You know, I still didn't, you know, I didn't really pray like that. I was just like, thank you, God, for this day. That's it. You know, I didn't know him. I knew of him, but I didn't know him. And so then I ended up getting fired from the bar that I worked at. And I wasn't that worried because I was like, okay, like, you know, I'll just get, you know, another job, like, no problem. It's okay. It's fine. And when I ended up getting fired, I was applying to these different jobs and I wasn't getting hired. But I was just like, okay, like, that's a little weird, but it's fine. And I think like a month went by. And, you know, again, I was still talking to this guy that I was talking to. And I was still seeing him. And I ended up feeling sick. So I ended up feeling sick, like really sick. And I was just like, okay, like, this is weird. I'm feeling like sick. And I ended up telling the guy that I wasn't feeling well. And I remember he told me to, he started asking for like my favorite candies. He was like, what's your favorite candy? This and that. And I was like, okay, that's weird. Like, why is he asking me this? So he told me to go outside this one day. And I went. And he surprised me with flowers and chocolates, my favorite chocolates, my favorite snacks. And I was just like, oh my gosh, like, I won the lottery with this guy. Like, this guy is amazing. And I really thought that. So, yeah, like, I still wasn't getting better, though. I was still sick. And, you know, I wasn't feeling well, and I was just like, okay, like, and I told the guy I was seeing, I was like, you know, maybe I should take a pregnancy test. And he was just saying, no, like, you shouldn't, like, you know, I know you're not pregnant. And but I knew my body, and I knew I was just, it was weird. I was feeling weird. And I mean, like, a woman knows her body. So I was just like, okay, I'm feeling weird. So I ended up taking a pregnancy test, and it came out positive. And I remember I was happy that I was having, you know, even though, yes, like, I got fired and I didn't have a job, I was like, I'm with this guy and he's amazing. And you know, I have my family, and you know, a kid's always a blessing. And I was just like, okay, like, you know, I'll be fine. And then this other part of me was like, I don't know, like, I don't know if I'll be able to do this. And but I knew, like, deep down I wanted to have it. And when I told this guy, his whole demeanor changed. I remember he said, you're not going to have this baby. And he was just telling me, he was just cursing at me. He was cursing at me. He was telling me that I wasn't going to have it. And I told him that I really wanted to think about it, because deep down I knew I wanted to keep it. And he just told me, he was like, no, you're not. And he was like, you're going to ruin my life. You're going to ruin your life. You're going to ruin your parents' life. You're going to ruin everyone's life. And I remember he told me, he was like, you're just thinking about yourself. You're not thinking about other people. And I started to believe that. I allowed this man to manipulate me into thinking that not having this child was the answer. It was the best choice I could make. And so I ended up getting an abortion. And when I got the abortion, this guy wasn't present. You know, he wasn't present. He didn't check up on me. He didn't care. And, you know, I wanted him to care for me, because it was something that I didn't talk to anyone about. I didn't tell anyone about. I was going through this alone. And he wasn't there. He wasn't supportive at all. And again, I'm here with no job. I just, you know, had an abortion. The guy that I was with just abandoned me, and I just felt broken. I remember I felt broken. I felt like my world was just came crashing down. And, I remember that I was like, okay, like, you know, I don't know what to do anymore. And I remember my mom told me, she was like, my mom didn't have an idea what had happened. She just knew that I didn't have a job. And my mom told me, she was like, you should try coming to church. And I was like, okay, like, I either can try to go to church and try to, you know, see what church is about and get closer to God. I'm like, or right now I'm going to end my life right here. And so I decided to go to church. And I remember that they were doing a 21-day fast. And I don't know why, just something in me just told me, join. And this was like my first time going to church, you know, getting closer to God. And, you know, I was just like, you know what? I need to do this fast. So when I first joined this fast, the first couple of days, I ended up going to sleep and I had a dream. And in this dream, I was at my grandma's house. And, you know, a little backstory is, my grandma, I always have good memories in this house that she used to live in. And, you know, that's where basically I grew up. And so I was at my grandma's house, and I went outside, and I remember the sky was pink and it was beautiful. It was so beautiful. And something just told me to bend down and get on my knees and start praising God. So I did. And I started to praise God. I started to give him thanks, you know, for everything. And I remember there was this person in this black robe came out of my grandma's house. And walked around me and just walked off. And I was just like, okay, that's weird. And then someone in a white robe came out of my grandma's house. And when he came out of my grandma's house, like, I just instantly knew this is Jesus. And I remember he was such a bright light, like, so bright. I couldn't see anything. I didn't see his feet. I didn't see his face. All I saw was the white robe and this bright light. And he touched my shoulders, and I woke up. And when I woke up, like, I knew, like, that was Jesus. I just saw Jesus. This is real. Like, I feel like that was the point where it just hit me. Like, this is real. Like, the gospel is real. God is real. Like, Jesus died in the cross for me. And I just felt like I wanted to change my life. Like, I knew I was living in sin and I just wanted to abandon everything and just chase God. And man, it just, that's the point where it just hit me how real this is, you know? And I wanted more of God. Like, I just wanted more and more of God. And yeah, so, you know, that definitely changed it for me. And of course, like, I was still dealing with the hurt of what I was going through. You know, I was, you know, in a relationship, you know, this man was verbally and emotionally abusive to me. You know, I was still dealing with, you know, healing from that, you know, and I still didn't end the relationship. He would come in and out of my life of what went on. And, you know, I started to read the Bible more. I started to pray more. And I remember this one time, because this guy was in and out of my life. So he would come and he would talk to me and then he would leave and he would block me. Like, I would always be blocked and unblocked, blocked and unblocked. And I remember I was crying in my room because I was still going through the hurt of everything. And I told God that I wanted to feel that he was with me. And I remember that I told him to make angels appear. I was crying in my room. I was hurt. I was broken. And I told God, I was like, God, I need you to make angels appear. I need you to do something. I need to see that you're here with me. And I remember I was just crying and then crying and crying. And I couldn't take it. Like, yes, I knew God was real, but I just wanted like a hug from him. I felt just lost, you know. Here I am again with no job. And, you know, I just went through what I went through. And the guy that's supposed to be there supporting me isn't here. You know, he abandoned me. He left. And, you know, I apologized to God because I was getting angry because I wanted a sign. I wanted, you know, something, you know, for me to know that he's there with me. And, you know, me and my brother, we were still going with the 21-day fast. And I think it was like in the middle of the fast. And we were driving to church. And I remember I saw this huge cloud. I mean, this cloud was big and it was like beautifully formed, like cartoonish type, like beautiful. Like, it was just so round and perfect. And I feel like it's sometimes rare to find like a cloud that's so round and perfect. Like, sometimes it's like a little just like, you know, like I don't know, it's just, this one was just perfect. And it was so close to the car, like it was close to us. And I remember I told my little brother, I'm like, is it just me or does this cloud look weird? Like, it looks beautiful, but it's weird. And my brother was like, yeah, the cloud's weird. And he was like, but it's beautiful. And I don't know why he didn't take a picture, but he didn't take a picture, but he was there. And yeah, like, and then after we saw that, a white dove flew by and I was just like, whoa. And I told him, I'm like, do you think this is a sign from God? And he was like, maybe. But then we were like, no, like, maybe it's just nature. Like, maybe this is, you know, it's just a white dove happened to fly by and the cloud, I don't know, right? But then the next day, because we were having service every day, so we went to service, and then this preacher looked at me and my brother, and he was like, I get happy every time I see them two. He was like, every time I see them two, he's like, I don't know why. He was like, but I see this huge white cloud. And when he said that, I was just shocked and I was just so happy because I know God heard me, you know, when I prayed to him that I wanted him to make angels appear. And sometimes, you know, God answers our prayers, but not the way that we expect. You know, I didn't expect for him to, like, you know, to show me that he's with me, you know, by using nature. And, you know, I just felt really happy. You know, I felt like, wow, like, God's listening to me. God's with me. You know, I'm going through something so hard, but God is here with me. And so, yeah, I felt really good, you know, to know that the Lord was listening to me. You know, I was still growing, you know, I was still growing my relationship with him. I barely had just started following him. You know, I barely started following Jesus. And yeah, I remember also during that fast, I was dealing with the whole DWI thing. So I was going to court, and I remember this one day, you know, I was just driving to court. You know, I was driving, and I remember I told God, I was like, God, I was like, every time I go to court, it lasts so long. I was like, it's so many hours, you know, that I sit there. And I was like, Lord, it just takes so long. I want to go to the gym. I want to work out. Like, I want the day to for me, you know? And I was just like, but it's okay. Like, I know, you know, I have to deal with this because it's, you know, my consequence for, you know, what I did, you know? And so then when I was in court, I was sitting there and I had just sat there for like 5 minutes and I ended up seeing my lawyer. And I was just like, wait a second, is that my lawyer? Because I was like, no, it can't be. Like, I'm always here for hours. Like, I don't ever see that dude walk in there until like like 2 hours later. And it did end up being my lawyer. And he told me just to sign some papers. And he's like, okay, you're out of here. I was out of court in less than 10 minutes. Like, maybe like 7 or 8 minutes. I wasn't there for long. And I was just shocked. I was like, wow. Because if you've ever gone to court before, you know court lasts long. And I was just shocked. And I told God, thank you. And I just felt God telling me, ask me for more. Ask me about your case. Because for my case, they were trying to give me 2 to 3 years of probation. And after I would be done with probation, they were going to leave that on my record. So I would have a DWI on my record. So anywhere I apply, it was going to be on my record. And so I ended up praying. I was like, okay, God, you know, I pray about my case. My case, you know, I want it dismissed. You know, I don't want it, you know, on my record. So, you know, as time went by, they ended up telling me, they were like, we were able to get you 1 year. We were able to get you 1 year probation. And after your year probation, your case is dismissed. And my eyes got watery and I was like, God, thank you. Cause I know this was you. Like, I know this was you. You told me to ask for this. And, you know, after a year probation, because yes, there's still consequences to our actions. Like, there's still consequences for the stuff that we do. Like, yes, I'm going to have a year probation, but after that, you know, God showed his mercy. It's going to be dismissed. And, I was just really happy. I was like, God is so good. And, you know, again, I was changing, right? So I was just changing. God was molding me into the person, into the woman of God that he wanted me to be. And, you know, I was praying for the guy I was with. You know, I was praying for him. I was like, Lord, like, you know, if you were just to touch his heart, if you were just to change him, like, I want you to change him. Like, I'm changing, you know, I'm starting to dedicate my life to you. I'm starting to serve you. And I want you to change this guy just like you're changing me. And, you know, God hears our prayers and he did answer my prayer. I ended up getting a dream, you know, and at this time I was blocked. So this guy had me blocked. You know, he would unblock me, block me. I was blocked during this time. And I had a dream that, you know, I was sitting in this long table and there were all these girls that were my friends, which is crazy because I don't really have that much friends, but in my dream, you know, I had all these friends and it was just like a table full of girls. And then there was my pastor. So there were all these girls and the pastor was sitting there too. So I was like, okay, that's a little weird, but okay. So all these girls started to give me their opinions. They were like, you should leave him. You shouldn't be with him. And they were like, no, get back together with him. Y'all can make it work. And then my pastor was eating and he looks up after all these girls give their opinions. And he says, you can't go back. And that's all he said. And then he just started eating again. And when he said that, I ended up waking up and I was just like, okay, like, you know, I was praying to God for this man and God answered. And I just knew that that dream came from God. God was telling me I can't go back. And 2 days later, I ended up getting unblocked. This guy told me that he loved me, that he missed me. And I ended up going back because, you know, I didn't want to let him go. It was hard for me. You know, I wasn't sinning anymore. I wasn't, you know, like partying and drinking. I wasn't doing that anymore. But again, you know, I was being disobedient to God and being disobedient to God is sin. So I was in sin, but I wasn't doing anything as bad. So I didn't see it as too bad, but you know, not obeying God, that's pretty bad too. But I ended up, having another dream. So in this dream, my room was pitch black. So my room was pitch black. And I remember that I was trying to get to the door. So the door, it was all light. And when I was walking towards the door, it was like a wind, like a strong wind was just pushing me back. And when I finally made it to the door and I finally tried to go to the side where the light was at, like through the door, something would just push me all the way to the back of the room. And that happened 3 times that I tried to walk towards the door. And when I finally woke up, I knew, I was like, okay, you know, this dream, what's holding me back is this relationship. What's holding me back, it's this man. Like, God wants me to let go of this man. And I can't grow spiritually and I can't go where God wants to take me if I don't let go of this man. And I knew that, and I still didn't let go of this guy. It was hard for me. Like, I would fight with, like, okay, you got to let him go. But then I was like, no, I don't want to let him go. And, and like, I knew that I had to leave him, but I couldn't do it. And, you know, again, he was verbally and emotionally abusive. And, you know, it was getting so bad to the point that I remember this one Sunday, I didn't go to church. You know, I didn't go to service because I was just so hurt. And I couldn't take it anymore. And I remember I told God, I was like, God, I can't do this. I was like, I can't do this anymore. You were right. You know, I'm sorry for being disobedient. I'm sorry for not obeying you. Like, you know, I let go of this relationship. I let go of this man. I can't take it anymore. And when I said that, I was being so genuine and I gave everything, you know, to God. And the following day, I ended up having a weird dream. I dreamt that my sister was drunk and she was happy and she was just partying and having, you know, this great time. And then the next day I had a dream that, you know, one of my friends named Sam was, you know, drunk also, but he was having this great time and he was just so happy. And I was just like, okay, these dreams are not from God. Like, why am I dreaming this? And on the third day, I had this dream, but it felt so real. I was seeing myself and, you know, I saw a mouth like right beside my ear, just like right here, right beside my ear. And, you know, I just saw like the jaw, but the jaw was red and it had like black burnt spots on it. And I knew this was the devil and he was speaking to me, but I couldn't hear anything that came out of his mouth. Like, I couldn't hear not one word that came out of his mouth. And then when I woke up, I was just like, okay, like, he's angry. He's angry that I let go of this man. He's angry that I let go of this relationship because this is what was stopping me from God taking me where he had to take me, this relationship. And when I finally let that go, it's like he didn't have anything, you know, like that was going to stop me from pursuing God because, you know, I wasn't in sin anymore, but, you know, just this relationship. And so then you would think that after I dreamt that I let go of this guy, but we kept going back and forth. Like, I would let him go, but then I would let him come back. And it was just like back and forth, back and forth. But I wasn't seeing him in person, so I thought it wasn't as bad. Like, we were just texting, so I was like, okay, it's not as bad. Like, I'm not seeing him in person anymore. Like, you know, I'm not being that disobedient. But I was still being disobedient because when God says to let go of something, that means let it go completely. That doesn't mean go text it, go whatever. No, that means let go. And I still wasn't doing that. And so it finally got to the point where I decided to block him. And I blocked this guy. You know, this was going on for months. So I decided to finally block him and I decided to finally dedicate my life to God. I was like, okay, God, like, I got to get serious. Like, I can't be having this guy in my life. Like, I have to let him go. And especially when he wasn't bringing anything positive to my life, we were always fighting. He was always, you know, telling me a bunch of negative stuff, cursing at me, you know, belittling me. And it just wasn't bringing any positivity to my life. So, I decided to chase God. I wasn't chasing the world anymore. You know, I didn't care for the world. And I was getting, you know, like, you know, God was using prophets, you know, and to speak to me. You know, it was God, you know, using them to speak to me. And I remember this one prophet told me, he was like, because of you, many are going to come to me. And, you know, I was just like, wow. And You know, during all this whole time, like, you know, I was getting closer to God, you know. And, oh, I forgot to mention that God had blessed me with a job. So I was already working, you know, I was good. And, yeah, so then God started to use me and I started to speak about God at work, you know, with my friend, you know, this friend named Sam. I started to speak to him about God and how great God is and, you know, everything that God was doing in my life. And, yeah, like, it was just going great. Like, you know, I was doing pretty good. And, but then, my little brother ended up having a dream. My little brother, well, before my little brother had a dream, my mom had a dream that she saw, like, in Hebrew letters that we were going to get attacked on the seventh month. And, the seventh month, you know, it's July and we were in the month of June, I believe. And I was just like, okay, you know, and it was this year. So this had just happened not that long ago. And we were like, okay, that's weird. But then my little brother ended up getting a dream, I believe, like maybe like a couple days later or like a week later from when my mom had a dream. And he said that in his dream, he had came inside my room. And when he came inside my room, we were just talking. And then I was like reading something like off my phone or something like that. And he said that I was reading that we were going to get attacked on the seventh month, that the devil was going to deceive us, that we were going to get attacked. And I remember, you know, my brother told me that music started to play loud, like it was the music was getting louder. And, you know, I believe he had said it was just like, it was just things were starting to be thrown around in the room. And me and him were just telling each other that we can't be deceived. Like we gotta stay focused on God. And so he told me that dream. So it was weird. You know, my mom had this dream and my little brother had this dream, you know, in the month of June. And I remember I told God, you know, the following church service, I told God, I was like, God, I'm not going to get distracted. And I remember I raised my hands and I told God, I'm not going to get distracted. I'm not going to get distracted. Like, I love you. I'm not going to get distracted. And when I did that, like, my hands and my arms have never shaked like that before. They never shaked ever in a church service ever. Like, when I pray to God ever. And that time, they started to shake uncontrollably. I couldn't control it. My legs started to shake. And I was trying to control it. I was just like, no, like, you know, like I was getting like, I knew it was God touching me, but I've never experienced that before. And I remember my youth, I believe it was my youth teacher came and she told me, she was like, let him touch you, because I was trying to control it. Cause I was just like, whoa, what's going on? And, you know, I allowed God, you know, to touch me and I fell. And I just knew that it was God, like, wow, like I've never experienced that. And I was just like, okay, like, you know, and, you know, I was grateful that God had gave us that warning that we were going to get attacked on the seventh month. And on, I believe it was June 29, I think it was like a day or two before the month of July, me and my brother, we were learning instruments at church. So I'm learning the bass and he's learning the drums. And so I ended up getting a call. My mom's like, you need to hurry home. And we were worried. We were like, okay, like, you know, it's already happening. Like the devil's already attacking us. And when I came to my house, I saw my car in the middle of the street. And I was just like, what just happened? Because my car was parked. It was parked in front of our house. Like it was like in the front of our yard. And I just asked what had happened. And my mom told me, she was like, you know, the neighbor was driving drunk and he hit your car. And when I looked at the damage was just so bad. And I mean, I was shocked and I started to cry because this is my car. This is the car that I used to work. This is the car that takes me where I need to go. This is the car that I used to go to church. This is the car that I use for everything. And I started to cry. But then, you know, My mom and my dad told me that it's up to me, whatever I decide to do. They told me, if you want to call the cops, you're welcome to call the cops, because he was driving drunk. And I looked at the neighbor and I just, God was changing me so much that I was like, man, God had mercy on me for everything that I did. Everything that I did, all the sins that I ever committed, God had mercy. And I was just like, man, I have to show the love of Jesus. I have to have mercy with my neighbor. So I ended up not calling the cops. And I just told them, I was like, you know, we'll handle it. Like, we'll settle this with your insurance. So I filled out the paperwork, you know, for the insurance, you know, was waiting for a call back from them. And me and my mom actually prayed for this man. You know, my mom didn't want to pray for this man, but she was like, you know, like, I feel like God's telling me that we got to pray for him. And I was like, okay, like, you know, I'm with it. You know, we'll go pray for this man. And we laid our hands on him. We told him if it was okay. He said it was, yeah, it was all right. And we prayed for him. You know, we showed the love of Jesus, just like God loves us. We got to love others. And so we prayed for him. In fact, you know, there were stuff that was happening to them. And then I ended up getting a dream. And in this dream, I remember I was laying in my bed and I had just woke up and I was just like, okay, like I had just woke up and I saw my 18-year-old brother, you know, walk in my room and I was just like, hey, like, you know, what are you doing in my room? Because it's, you know, he don't really come in my room like that. So I'm like, what are you doing in my room? And he just looked at me like with a dead face. And I just knew, I was like, this is not my brother. This is the devil. So he just kept looking at me and then he started talking, but I didn't hear nothing he said. I didn't hear absolutely not a word that came out of his mouth. And then I woke up again. So I woke up again. I'm like, okay, like I'm finally awake. Like, you know, all right, like this is good. And when I woke up, it's like the scene changed. I wasn't in my bed no more. I was in front of these two women. And when I was in front of these two women, they had weapons with them. And I knew, I was like, okay, I was like, they are about, you know, to kick my butt. You know, they're about to whoop my butt. But I knew I had to show the love of Jesus. And I was just like, okay. And I looked at them and there was like people around us. And when I looked at them, I told them, I was like, God loves you. I was like, Jesus loves you. And, you know, that's it. You know, and I had my hands, you know, on my side and I was like, I can't, you know, I can't fight them. I can't, you know, I have to show the love of Jesus. And, you know, when I looked at the ground, there was like a light glowing in front of me. So this light was glowing. And then when I looked up, there were chains, like big chains just going left and right, just like, you know, like in front of me. And I just knew, I couldn't see the angel. Like I could just see a glowing light in front of me, a big round glowing light. But I couldn't see the angel. I just saw the chains going back and forth, like left and right. And I knew there was an angel in front of me defending me. And I was just like, okay, like, you know, I was just shocked, you know, because it's like, you know, like not only that, and the Bible even says like, you know, sometimes, you know, we don't have to fight, like God fights for us, you know, and I was just amazed. And I was just like, okay. And then I woke up again. So when I woke up, I was like, okay, like I'm finally awake, but I wasn't. And I was in my bed. And I don't know if y'all know this song, but there's this song and it's called Yahweh Se Manifestará. And, you know, and you know, it's a song that says all the names of God. And this song was just being played, but it wasn't being played like the song was playing. Angels were singing this. I know angels were singing this song because it just sounded so angelic, so loud. And as this song was being sang, my hands started to shake. I was laying down, but my hands, my physical hands in my physical body, I started to shake. And I knew I was shaking because, you know, I knew the presence of God was there. And it was beautiful and I didn't want it to end, but then the sound started to lower, you know, the voices of the angels started to lower. And I was just like, okay. And I ended up waking up again. And I thought I was finally awake, but I was still scared because I was like, okay, am I awake? Am I not awake? And then my little brother, I have an 11-year-old brother. He came out of my closet and I just knew, I was like, okay, this is not my brother. This is a demon. And when he came out of my closet, he had like reptile type looking eyes and he slithered out of my closet. Like, he was walking, but he gave like his feet didn't lift from the ground. And he looked at me and he tilted his head, like looked at me and smiled at me, and then slithered back into my closet. And then I was like, okay, that was weird. And I thought, you know, like I woke up again on my bed, and I thought I was finally awake, and I was getting tired of it. I was like, okay, this is, I keep waking up and I keep waking up, but I'm not waking up, and I keep dreaming. And I saw my brother walking inside my room again. And I was just like, okay, I was like, you know, I even told him, I'm like, you know, why are you in my room? And, you know, he was just looking at me, you know, with a straight face. Again, he looked dead. And I was like, okay, this is the devil again. And I knew it was the devil. And I told him, I was like, you can't touch me. And it sort of makes me laugh, but it wasn't funny at the time because, you know, this was scary. But when I told him that he couldn't touch me, he started walking towards me. And he ended up choking me. And he was choking me. And, you know, after I told him, you know, you can't touch me, that's crazy. But then as he was choking me, I was trying to talk, but I couldn't talk. But there was somehow, like, I don't know how to explain it, but somehow I spoke in my mind, but he heard me. I told him, I'm like, I'm not your child. I'm a child of God, and you have to let me go. And when I said that, he instantly let me go. And when he let me go, I woke up again. But this time I was feeling around the bed. I was like, okay, am I awake? Am I not awake? I woke up so carefully because I was like, this is insane. Like, I kept trying to wake up and I wasn't waking up. Like, I was in a dream. I was in a nightmare. And when I finally woke up, I walked towards the kitchen and I told my little brother, I was like, the devil just attacked me in my dream. And I told him everything that happened. He was just like, whoa. And I was like, yeah, like, he took the form of you. And you know, I know he knows that I have a really close relationship with my 18-year-old brother. And I believe that's why he took his form also. But yeah, it was just crazy that, you know, we were getting attacked. And but after that month, my church had a fast. We entered this fast in the month of August. So it was already July and then it was August. And then so, you know, we were going through this whole fast. And it was great. You know, God was just working in my life. You know, I didn't have that guy in my life anymore. And everything was just going good. Like, I was growing, you know, my relationship with Christ. My sister had came to Christ. Then she actually came to visit from Germany. I just felt like, wow, like, so blessed to have my sister here. You know, I'm so happy that she came to Christ. And yeah, like, you know, we were all good until, you know, finally the fast ended. And once the fast, you know, they even said too, like, you know, the devil's going to start attacking, you know, once this fast ends, you know. And, you know, when the fast did end, I started to have an urge to want to reach out to my ex. I started to have that urge that I wanted to talk to him. And I was just shocked because I was like, why do I want to talk to him? Like, why do I have this urge to reach out? And so it was crazy. And I did end up reaching out. But before I reached out, before I even like checked on him or anything, I had him blocked. So I didn't have any contact. And this thought came into my mind. And I know it wasn't me, because usually when you think about something, it's like, well, did this happen? That's not the type of thought that came into my mind. What came into my mind was, he changed his profile picture. It's not, did he change his profile? It was, he changed his profile picture. I haven't checked this guy's social media in 2 months, in a month. Like, I haven't checked it. And so when I looked, and this is a man that never changes his profile picture, like, never. And when I checked it, his profile picture had changed. And I was just shocked. And I was just like, okay, like, I'm gonna ignore it. Like, I'm not gonna know. Like, I know the devil wants me to reach out to him. I'm not gonna do it. And then when that happened, I had another thought a couple days later saying he changed his profile picture again. And I was just like, okay, when I checked, his profile picture was changed. And I was just like, oh my gosh. Like, I'm like, I know that the devil's like bombarding my mind with these thoughts that he wants me to go back to him and I can't do it. And I just kept fighting with those thoughts, but I did give in and I did reach out. You know, I reached out to him. And, you know, glory to God that he has someone new. You know, I'm like, oh, you know, glory to God. You know, at first I was hurt. You know, it does hurt and it does sting a bit. But I was like, glory to God that he has someone else because I'm not able to go back. And but it didn't stop there. Like, the devil was just bombarding my mind with, you know, check his profile picture. What is he up to? Who's the new girl he's seeing? Like, you need to know this and that. And, you know, not only that, I was comparing my life. So I was still posting TikToks about God. And I know God was using me through TikTok, but social media was becoming more negative than positive in my life. And I was like, okay, I either delete social media and follow Christ fully, or I keep living in disobedience because God told me to let go. And did you really let go if you're looking at someone? That's the thing. I feel like a lot of people spy on their exes and they spy on people they shouldn't. Did you really let go if you keep up with their lives? And I didn't want to keep up with this life. I didn't want to, you know, keep comparing my life to others. I was seeing that friends were getting married, friends were having kids, friends were, you know, just, you know, their lives. And I was comparing my life to them. And I was just like, God, no, enough is enough. So I permanently deleted Instagram, permanently deleted TikTok. I don't have any social media. And, you know, I was just like, okay, like, you know, I have to put an end to this. Like, I can't keep, you know, going back. I can't keep, you know, doing this. And not only that, my mom actually had this guy, when she went to go do laundry, gave her a prophetic word. And he spoke about our whole family. But when he mentioned me, he said, you have a daughter that loves God. And, you know, God wants to bless her. But every time he's about to bless her, every time he's about to give something to her, she looks back. She's doing what Lot's wife did. And she can't be doing that. And when she said that, I was just like, whoa. And that was one of the moments where I decided to cut off that guy. But then, you know, now here I am, the devil's attacking me, wanting me to go back, wanting me to look back. And so I deleted social media. And I feel like when I deleted social media, that's when I completely, really let go of this man. And that just happened, I believe, like a month ago or like 2 months ago. I finally permanently deleted social media. And yeah, now I'm, you know, focused on God. I feel like I really let go of what I had to let go of. And yeah, like, I mean, not only that, with that prophetic word that God said, because of you, many are going to come to me. I told God, I'm like, I don't know how you're going to do it. Like, I thought it was through TikTok, and, you know, I don't have social media anymore. So I don't know how you're going to use me to reach a lot of people. And as I was praying, God put it in my heart. And podcast just came to my mind. And I was just like, podcast? Like, I don't know. Like, I've never had a podcast before. I've never even had that thought of having one. And God put it in my heart. And here I am, you know, shooting this video, you know, having this, you know, taking out this first episode. And, you know, I just feel really grateful to be here. I enrolled back to college, you know, so, you know, I'm back in college. You know, not only that, like, I know the whole car situation. I forgot to mention that about the car situation. So the insurance didn't really cover a lot. They didn't. They only covered some. They gave me some of the money, but they told me I had to turn in my car. So I did. You know, I gave them my car because I didn't want to. But, you know, I told my neighbor if he was going to help with the repairs, and he said no. He said that he wasn't going to help out in anything. And he said that he wanted the car that he lent me back. So, you know, I didn't have a car. I didn't have a way to move. But it was crazy because the day before that had happened, I read in the Bible that God isn't like man, that God doesn't lie because he's not like man. And I was just like, God, I just felt like God wanted me to cut all ties with my neighbor. So I did. I cut all ties. I gave him his car back. I was like, thank you for allowing me to use your car for the time being. But, you know, I want nothing from you anymore. And, you know, I was just like, God, you know, I don't depend from a job. I don't depend on anyone but you. So, you know, right now, I know I don't have a car right now. But, you know, my mom had a dream that I was driving, you know, because I had a Mustang.
And my mom had a dream that I was driving, you know, a Mustang. And she knew, she said a specific color, which I'm not going to say. But she said I was driving this Mustang. And then it's the craziest thing was that she went to work. And there's this one guy that, because I used to work at the same place my mom works. And this one guy was like, hey, like, I just want to tell you that I love your daughter's new Mustang. And my mom's like, my daughter doesn't have a car. And then he was like, no, yes, she does. Like, I just saw her. And he said the same color that my mom had in that dream. And I was just shocked when my mom told me. And then my mom said that this guy kept, like, he was saying, yes, like, I know it was your daughter. She was in that car. You know, she was, like, singing in the car. And it was her. And it's crazy because whenever I had my Mustang, like, I would always sing to God in my car. I'd be so happy. And I was just like, wow, like, God is sending confirmation that, you know, yes, it might take time, but I'm going to bless you with, you know, this new Mustang. And it was crazy because it was the same color that this guy saw. It was the same color that my mom had in this dream. And so it's just, it's crazy. Like, I mean, God has done so much in my life. Like, God has healed me. You know, he restored me. He, everything is just, I feel like it's, you know, everything is going, you know, how it's supposed to. And I'm so grateful that God changed my life. You know, I was lost. I was living for the world until, you know, God came and he saved me. And like they say, like, he leaves the 99 and he chases that one. And I was that one that he went for. I was that one that he healed and he brought back to him. And I'm just so grateful because now I know the meaning of life is Jesus. The meaning of life is dedicating your life to Jesus and speaking about the gospel, because heaven and hell are real. God is real. And we have a choice to make here on earth. And we're not here forever. We have a limited time. And, you know, what more than to dedicate your life to Jesus, you know? And I feel so grateful. You know, I, not only that, like, I have a purity ring. I have it on my, I have a purity ring. I'm no longer in sin, you know? And I decided to, after that relationship that I had, you know, with that guy that God told me to let go of, I just decided that I don't want to live in sin anymore. And I, you know, I made this promise, you know, to God that, you know, I won't, you know, do anything until he sends that man of God into my life. So now, you know, I'm walking in purity, you know, and staying pure. And that's what God wants us to do, because again, you know, having intercourse, that should be only within marriage, you know, and when it's not, like, you know, that causes a lot of issues, and it shouldn't be, you know, you shouldn't be living in fornication. And I just feel so grateful, you know, that God just absolutely changed my life. He is absolutely everything to me. You know, he forgave me for all my sins, and I'm living for him now. My life is dedicated to him. And, you know, I'm grateful that, you know, we're bringing this podcast, you know, to life, that we're getting testimonies, that we're going to sit down and we're going to talk about Jesus. And I just feel like this podcast is going to be such a blessing for the people watching, and such a blessing for them as it is for us. And, you know, that's about everything that God did, you know, in my life. And I'm grateful. He's everything to me. And yeah, like, God absolutely changed my life. And, you know, this is my testimony. And this isn't to exalt me, and this isn't to exalt anyone that's going to be in our podcast. This is to exalt the name of Jesus and God. So thank you for watching, and God bless y'all.